Well, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Helper. The Helper, right? I think the Holy Spirit can help people kick the ball straight tonight. Oh, Lord, help our goalkeeper again. Something got a hold of him last week. John chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. All right. So God gives us the Holy Spirit. He's promised him to us and we have him. All right. Because we need help. We need help. And as we've seen in the last couple weeks, these areas where he helps us are areas that where we are deficient. All right. We saw last week that if our life is going to mature, transform, if we're going to become more and more like Jesus, that is not the product of self-help. It's not the product of us scrubbing and washing and pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. No, it is by the Spirit of God that we are changed and transformed. And I believe for many of us, some of that has happened already, and there's a whole lot more changing yet to be done. And so we need his help for that to happen in our life. And so I want to look at another part of his, in a sense, his helping job description, who he is to us, what he does that we certainly need. All right. Let's look in John chapter 16. And as I mentioned to you, if you really want to follow along in these messages, read John 14, 15, 16, because that's where Jesus really speaks much of the Holy Spirit and his work. In John 16 and verse 12, Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. And whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will, another version says, he will show you things to come. Now what is that? That's about the future, right? He'll show you things to come, all right? Things that you don't know. Now, why is that a great work of his? Okay, here's the reason, is because in our own natural ability, we can't see things to come, right? We don't know. But when we do know, we have an incredible advantage in life when the Holy Spirit lets us see what he sees. All right, this is vision. This is guidance. This is the Holy Spirit's direction in our life. Romans 8:14. One of the great promises in the Word and who the Holy Spirit is in our life. It reads, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Being led by the Spirit is your birthright. It's your birthright. You don't need a gift of discernment, okay? And technically there isn't one, all right? You don't need to be flowing in the words of knowledge and word of wisdom. Now, that can happen in your life. We're gonna talk about that next week, all right? But what you do need is to expect him and look to him to lead you, to lead you. Now, for me, and we kind of all has maybe personal favorites, this is one of my favorite things that God does for me. Now, I like them all, so to speak. I mean, forgiveness of sin, missing hell and going to heaven, that's fairly top, right? That's a good thing. But the fact that the God of the universe could indwell me and help steer my life is so awesome. And as I look back on my life, where, say, for the past 29 years where I've been following the Lord, this is one of the greatest things he's done for me, is to lead and to guide and to show. And what a help. Oh, what a help he has been in my life. Now, why... Why is this important? Okay, so if the Holy Spirit is going to lead us, He is our guide, why is this important? All right, now, I want to make a few comments before we see how He does this. Now, let's think of this. There would be some in the Christian world that would have us to believe that you really don't need to be led, because every single thing that happens in your life is automatically God's will. It's God's will. How many of you had to drive around looking for a jersey yesterday or this week? Well, that was God's will. I had to get a double XL. Couldn't find it in a few places. Hallelujah. It's time for a diet, right? But here's the thing. Some people would say, well, that was God's will. He had a purpose in all of that. Well, the purpose was just that we're gone. But that every single thing, no matter where, whatever happens in your life, it all came down God's will, and He discerned it. And so here's the thing. If that's the case, then we don't need the Holy Spirit to lead us. We just start walking, and wherever we end up is where we're supposed to be. I don't think that's what Scripture tells us. All right? If everything is in our life Father-filtered, then we don't need a guide. That part of the Holy Spirit's job description would be redundant. We could just scratch it off. No, friends. The Scriptures do not teach that everything in our life is Father-filtered. Now, He has a will. He has a destiny. But whether we fulfill that and walk in that is hugely dependent on whether we yield to Him or listen to Him. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, let me just show you two instances. They're all over the Bible, all right? But in Acts chapter 6, in Acts chapter 3, God spoke to Moses and He said, all right, I want you to get my children out of Egypt. They're not supposed to be there. And I want you to take them to a land that flows with milk and honey. A few verses down in Exodus 3, Moses told them, he said, we're going to work with God, and He is going to take you into the promised land. Now, who was the you? You. Not their children, you. We're going to take you into the promised land. Exodus 6, He repeats it. All right? Exodus 6:5, I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you, my people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. Now, wait a second. Who is speaking? This is God, right? God says, you are going to the promised land. Am I correct? Did I misread anything? Question. Did the you that heard that 40 years later, did they go into the promised land? They didn't. They died in the wilderness. There was a whole group that got all the way to the Jordan and didn't even want to go in. We kind of like it over here. And God led them. That's scary. It was the other generation that went in. It was the other generation with Joshua that went into the promised land. That was not God's will. Does God's will automatically happen? Of course it doesn't. Of course it doesn't. He works through those yielded to Him. He works to those who are listening, who are following. The children of Israel were called a stiff-necked people. Why? Because God said this way, and they resisted Him at every turn. Right? So much so that Moses had to intercede for them. God was going to wipe them out. And Moses knew that God could. He had done that before. 1 Corinthians 10. And verse 5, speaking of them, it says, but with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. They weren't supposed to die there. They were supposed to get to the promised land and die. They were supposed to be buried there. They were supposed to make the journey in just a few years. All right? So we must listen and we must follow in order to get there. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus went to his hometown in Nazareth. He'd been doing miracles. And he got there and people didn't receive him. People said, oh, this is Jesus, the carpenter's son. Not the Messiah. Not the Son of God. This is the carpenter's son. And the Bible says there he could do no mighty work. He couldn't. Wow. How is he limited? Through their unbelief, the Bible says. Because of their unbelief. Amen. Tell your neighbor, that's not me. Say, I'm crossing the river. All right. So God's will means that we have to follow it. We have to follow that will. So he has promised to do these. We saw in our text in John 16 that he will show us things to come. All right. So that's part of his job. We are led by the Spirit. Now, let's ask ourselves, why should we look to him as a guide? Why should we see him? And why should we allow him to have that part in our life? Okay, the first point is so important. It's because you are a lousy guide. You are terrible. If you, you know, in life is a journey, right? And we keep walking. And, you know, when we're young, and I think it's okay, we tell our, I hope you tell your kids, you can be anyone. You can do anything, right? But they later discover that that's not actually true. And not in a bad way, but they want to be a singer and they sing and someone says, it would be a great blessing to the world if you would please put the microphone down and never pick it up again. There are some things in life that are simply not learned. You just can't teach it, all right? It's how God made us, okay? So as we walk in life, we begin to discover what we're good at and what we're not good at doing, right? And I think those of you that maybe if in your late 30s, your 40s, I hope you have a list on a piece of paper, at least in your mind, of your area of ungiftedness. That at work or in the family or at church, when someone says, hey, we need some people to do this, you instantly think, that is not me. You do not want me doing that. Right? So that's okay, correct? I remember when we first got to Zambia and when the church was small, we were able to have braais at the old church and we had a small soccer pitch, you know. And I think it was one of the first or second braais. I remember, I always have this, remember my wife was racing Talitha Boya. And it was a close race. And I thought, well, hey, I'm going to be an example. Let me join these young people and I'll play football. I almost lost all my teeth. I played a little bit when I was 12 years old, but I just realized, put the football boots away and back up. Leave that to the younger kids. All right. So we understand what we're not good at doing. Well, let me tell you from the Word of God, you are lousy at guiding your life. God didn't make you to do that. Turn to Jeremiah 10:23. I want you to see this. Turn to Jeremiah 10:23. Let me encourage you, please, always bring a Bible to church. Always bring a Bible to church. I might just make it up. I've heard some made up scriptures before. Tell you to turn to 2 Imaginations chapter 3 and there's people looking. I think I need to go to the table of contents to find that. Jeremiah 10:23. This actually is one of my life scriptures. What do I mean? The one or two or three scriptures that you feel like God just helped build your life upon. Jeremiah 10:23. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Did you hear that? You don't have it. It's not in you. You were not wired that way. God did not give you that when you were born into this world. You're not supposed to direct your own steps. Now, here's the thing. You are supposed to walk, right? It says man who walks. Okay, God's not going to do your walking for you, right? You're going to walk, but he's the one who's going to direct your steps. And all over Scripture, he says, I'll guide you. I'll show you. That means that we need to know that's his job. It's not our job. He guides our life. We do not have that in our human job description. Proverbs 20 and verse 24 says, how can we understand the road we travel? It is the Lord who directs our steps. It is the Lord who directs our steps. I believe this is what James was talking about when someone says, well, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there. And he says, no. If the Lord wills, I'll go here, I'll go there. Not that you get in the car and you're headed to the Copper Belt to visit your family and say, well, I guess I'll get there if the Lord wills. No, that's silly. No, it's saying that every movement of your life, Father, what are you saying? What's your will? What do you want? Because I want to go where you want me to go. Amen? And this is recognizing the lordship of Jesus in your life. Amen? Well, Father, who do you want me to marry? I don't necessarily think that he'll shine a light from heaven. You know, this lady will levitate out of the crowd and she'll turn around and light beams will come out of her face, you know. No, you just say, Lord, I submit this to you. I choose to use your Proverbs 31 description of who to look for. Right? I'm going to submit that to you. Okay? So, we don't have it. So, if we don't have it, if we can't do it, how many of you know we need a helper? We need a helper for this. And so thank God that when the Holy Spirit was given to the church and he comes to indwell us, that is a part of his job. Oh, I'm so glad that it is. I'm so glad that it is, because all of us, probably since we've been walking with the Lord, we've taken some steps on our own, human reasoning, carnal advice from other people, right? Well, that man hurt you. You hurt him back and you just show him. Oh, that's that. Oh, sure. That's a Bible verse, right? No, we've done some dumb things like that. And we've paid the price for it too. All right. We've paid the price. All right. So the Lord will direct our steps. Now, here's another reason why the Holy Spirit is so awesome at being our guide. The Holy Spirit is in our future. We are not. He is there today because God, the Bible says he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last. He sees all. And he sits in the heaven. God sits above time. Well, I don't understand that. That's okay. But he's God and you're not. And we're cool with that. But so the Holy Spirit already knows where you need to go. He knows how to get you there. He knows how to tweak your life. He knows how to transform you. Okay? So you and I have never yet walked on the path called tomorrow. We've never been on that path yet. The Holy Spirit already has. He's walked on that path. He's walked on next year. And so because he's already walked on that path, then he can show us that path. He is capable of helping us be on that path and understand that. I remember one time when we were doing pastors' conferences all over the nation. If we had time, we'd try to stop and see some of the sites. And I think it was Kundalila Falls. And we had stopped there. There were three of us. Well, it was a Sunday afternoon. And so we got there, parked the vehicle. There was nobody there. All right. And so as we were thinking, okay, where do we go? Where is this? You know, we're not really sure. And we saw a couple pathways. And here comes this guy. He's a guide. And I remember it was a Sunday because I think he had just come from church. And this beautiful guy, real, real short guy. He had a white shirt and a pink tie. And the tie, where the tie finished, it was closer to his knees than it was his belt. That stuck in my mind, all right? So he comes out and he says, "I'm your guide." We said, "Well, great." And he says, and this is what he said, "Follow me. Follow me." Now, why did we follow him? Well, he said he was the guide. I guess he could have been, he wasn't, but he looked like, you know, that he was. But it became real evident as we began to walk. Here's what it became evident. He's been here before. And sometimes he would say, "Hey, watch out for this. Step over here. Actually, this is the path, but you're going to need to go here because." So he went before us, and we followed him. All right. And also remember coming back, he was in much better shape than I was. He was going faster than I was. But because he had been there, he knew the route, and he was going to help us to get there quickly, efficiently, without injury, and so that we could get to the destination. God has a destination for your life. He has a plan and purpose for your life. And you will never, ever, ever get there without a guide. Without a guide. Or how foolish would it have been if one of us, there were three of us, one of us said, "I've never been here, but I'll be the guide." Well, you can put the guide badge on, but you're not qualified to be the guide. Our mother and our father are not meant to be our guides. Prophets and pastors are not meant to be your guides. The Holy Spirit is your guide. The Holy Spirit is your guide. Now, those people have roles in your life, but they are not to guide you. They are not to guide you. All right? That was fun. All right, so God knows your destiny. You only know a glimpse. All right? Let's look at some examples. Acts 15, 28. Now, here's the thing. When we see these examples, you need to expect that this will happen in your life. You need to expect that this would happen in your life. Acts 15, 28, there was a conversation. And the Gentiles had gotten born again in Acts chapter 10. But now they were worried. Oh, can they eat pork? They dress different than us. This is brand new for us. What was that? We've never been here before. We've never been down this road before. How do we make this decision? All right. And thank God those early leaders looked to someone who knew. So the Bible says it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And then they gave him some instruction. All right. So it said it seemed good to us. I like that word us, because this group of people were people that evidently were sensitive to the Holy Spirit. All right. If you're going to get some us's in your life, make sure that they have the Holy Spirit. And they know how to follow him. They know how to listen to him. All right? Because the Holy Spirit will speak to us. All right? But it says it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. It seemed good. And this is describing what some have referred to as the witness of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he'll bear witness in your spirit that you are the sons of God. All right? That is, he doesn't paint a picture in the sky. It's not an angel, but you have a witness. And I don't know if you've ever happened this, but whenever you hear someone preach on or you begin to read in the Bible, and when it talks about that you are a child of God, the Holy Spirit on the inside is saying, "Amen. That's good preaching. Yes, yes, yeah. What is he doing? He's bearing witness. Okay. Now, that bearing witness, I think, is the way that it was described here is so, I think, so good. It seemed good. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. There was an agreement that we felt the Holy Spirit is okay with this. All right. Some people would describe it of if something is wrong, that you get a check in your spirit. There was a time where Paul was trying to preach to the Gentiles. He was trying to go to Asia. He'd already been told to go to the Gentiles. He was trying to go to Asia. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit forbid us. He forbid us. Another way to describe it is there is an uneasiness in your heart. Not in your mind, in your heart. And you need to be able to distinguish the two. The mind is our computer. It's where we process. We store facts, we think, and thank God we should think, lots, okay? But our heart, our spirit, is where God dwells, and that's where he's going to be saying, yes, no, go, stop, be careful, all right? And there's a witness, a check, maybe an uneasiness if it is the wrong thing. Just last night, my wife and I were having a discussion, and we were talking about something, and we had to make a decision. And I asked her, I said, well, do you have a check in your spirit? And she paused and said, no. I said, well, neither do I. So let's go this way. All right? Amen. Men, you need to have wives that know the Holy Spirit. Wives, you need husbands that know the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because sometimes you miss it. All right? So there's a peace, there's a check, and this is one of the reasons why I believe so strongly that the Bible says that we are to live soberly. And that doesn't just mean how you're going to celebrate tonight. Hallelujah. We got real happy on Wednesday night having drunk Fanta and Coca-Cola. I took the kids and they went running through a shopping center, danced with a bunch of guys, high on Fanta. Okay? But soberly is not just alcohol. It's anything that influences your life where you make bad judgment. Could be anger, bitterness, rage. That makes people make bad decisions. Could be pride, ego. People get drunk on that. All right? So we're to live soberly. That is, don't be under any other influence other than the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's what it says. Don't be drunk with wine, whereas in excess, or it leads to debauchery, it leads to bad stuff, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. All right? When my wife and I were, when we were thinking about coming to Zambia, well, and some of you know the story, but before, about 2 years, there was a stirring. What do you mean a stirring? Just an impression, a desire. God was working in our hearts about pastoring a church. All right? And we started talking to people about it. We started praying about it. And there was just this sensing. All right? And we were involved in a church plant in Johannesburg. And they offered the church to us. All right? We wouldn't have to move. Our kids were in school. The vehicles were paid off. There was a sushi place down the road. There was high-speed internet. So your mind, your flesh has certain ways. But we said, Lord, we present this to you. All right? We're talking to you. And so we began talking, praying. And then it just dropped in our hearts, instantly, just dropped in our hearts, that the offer of that church in Johannesburg, it just felt, ugh. I don't know how to describe it. It's like when you put on someone's shoes that are not yours, if you've ever made that mistake. Or you put on a suit coat or a suit jacket, and you got somebody else's, and you thought it was yours, and you put it on, and you're like, or just so big. It's not mine. It just feels wrong. It feels wrong. And one time, it was actually when we was visited here, as soon as we got off the plane, I said, Haley, I don't know if we're supposed to come here, but I can tell you one thing. We're not supposed to take that church in Johannesburg. It is. And she said, that is exactly what I thought. That's exactly what I felt. What is that? That's the witness of the Holy Spirit. Try it on for size. Don't make a commitment first. But I heard somebody say this, that sometimes if you're making a decision, just say, well, I think I'm going to take the job in Australia. And then how does that feel on the inside? Put the salary aside. Put the perks aside. Just feel on the inside. I think I'm going to take the job in Australia and see what the Holy Spirit has to say. Feeling, all right? Him. Now, so that is and here's what I believe. I believe this is the primary way that God leads us, is through the witness of the Holy Spirit. He bears witness with our spirit. All right, so we're sensitive to Him. We're listening to Him throughout the day. All right, and we just have our radio station all the time turned to Holy Spirit FM. How many of you have favorite radio stations? Right? I do, right? And it's always on that station. Well, in your heart, you need to dial down from ego FM and drunkenness FM and sexual lust FM and dial into Holy Ghost FM, where He is broadcasting all day long. Right? 3 a.m. This is Holy Spirit DJ coming to you strong from Lusaka, Zambia. Bringing life, love, and hope to you. Direction, if you'll listen to me. That's what He's broadcasting all the time, all the time, all the time. Stay right there. Stay on that station. Be listening. And you know what? And as you're going down, and don't get weird about things. Because some Christians, they get weird, you know. I think I'm supposed to have chicken today. You know, oh, they get weird. Oh, they get so strange. No, just stay hooked up to the Holy Spirit. Acknowledge Him in your life. Holy Spirit, I need your help today. I'm not going to make it without you. I'm listening to you. And live your life. But while you're living it, listen. Listen. What is He saying? All right. What is He trying to communicate to you? All right. Now, the Holy Spirit also has a voice. All right. So there's a seem good. There's, in a sense, a spiritual sensing, so to speak, that we saw. But there's also a voice. All right. In Acts chapter 8, Philip, all right, an angel of the Lord appeared to Philip about the eunuch. All right, any witness to the eunuch. But then in verse 29, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. The Spirit said to Philip. All right, so it was actually a voice. Now, I don't believe it was an audible voice, but the voice of the Spirit of God, where there's actually, you sense words. Don't do that. Be careful. There might be an actual phrase that He will use. All right, Acts chapter 10, verse 19. While Peter thought about the vision, so there was a supernatural vision, all right, that might happen. I've had one or two of those. But while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. The Spirit said to him. How? Did he have a personal prophet that just walked with him? And he said, yea, thus saith the Spirit. No, the Spirit spoke to Peter on the inside, on the inside. But there were words that he could identify, that could be articulated. I remember one time when I was at Oral Roberts University and Marilyn Hickey was preaching. And she was talking about how a lot of people, you know, there's, you know, divorce that happens in people's lives, in families, over and over and over again. I've told you, my family tree looks like a lightning bolt hit it. Lots of divorce. And she said, you know, anybody who wants to stand for, these are young people, anybody who wants to stand for prayer, that it's going to be different in your life. And so I stood up. And I heard the Spirit of God say this to me. I'm starting with you. I'm starting with you. What does that mean? There's going to be a new legacy. There's a new legacy. Amen. I'm glad he said that. It was awesome. When Haley and I were leaving the Elliots and helping them in their ministry, we were praying, seeking the Lord about what to do, and we felt impressed to do conferences. And the Spirit said, start in Zambia. Start in Zambia. Now, I hadn't been there in a number of years. Haley hadn't been there since 1992. But the Spirit said, start in Zambia. Now, here's the funny thing about the Holy Spirit. And I think he's got a reason for that. Is sometimes he'll just give you a phrase. Go talk to that guy. And, no, just do that. You'll be okay. Start in Zambia. So what did that mean? Well, start doing these conferences in Zambia. Well, it was out of that that we really got very close to the Newberries and stayed at their house, and we'd preach at Miracle Life every year. The Holy Spirit did not say, start in Zambia. For yea, surely, in 5 short years, you'll be standing before the people and you will be pastoring Miracle Life and the church. Oh, yea, and then it will grow. You're on a need-to-know basis. And what you need to know, he knows what you need. And he'll give you that part. And what is it? It's to step. It's to step. So for 5 years, we did exactly what he said. Start in Zambia. That's all we did. We'd come up, driving back and forth, holding these conferences. He hadn't said anything else. So we went by the last thing he said. Start in Zambia. And they never said go anywhere else. And he still hasn't. Okay? So he will speak to you. He will speak to you. All right? Words of knowledge that we see in the scripture, words of knowledge, personal prophecy, those types of things. Realize that those are biblical. All right? They are biblical, and we see them in the book of Acts. There were prophets that, you know, said the man that wears this belt is going to be in chains in Rome. All right, and Paul said, the Holy Spirit says this in all the churches everywhere I keep going. The Holy Spirit keeps saying this. Okay, so is that legitimate? Sure, it's legitimate. But what it is confirmational. It is not directional. It is confirmational. Not direct. The Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It does not say those who are led by prophets are the sons of God. Or those who are led by their pastors are the sons of God. I had somebody recently came up to me and said, hey, pastor. And it was a decision that was not mine to make. It was theirs to make. I said, well, I want you to, you know, I felt, you know, maybe that I'm more spiritual or something like that. I said, no, you pray about it. And he did. And he came back and said, well, I prayed about it. And this is what God said. I said, awesome. Amen. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So don't be led by prophecy. And what do I mean by that? Somebody comes up to you and says, well, I just feel like the Lord is saying. Here's what you need to ask. Has God already been dealing with me about that? Has he already been dealing with me about that? And if he hasn't, put it on the shelf. And certain prophecies, you can just go ahead and go to the toilet and flush them. Because they're anti-biblical. They're outside of the boundaries of the Word of God. You don't need to pray about it or anything. I had some supposed prophet come and tell me something. And I said, well, that's not from God. You can leave my office. And they did. And they haven't come back. So that went well. But don't listen to stuff that's not from the Bible. Don't listen to goofy nonsense. Please. You know the whole, you've got the Word of God. Oh, but pastor, it was so amazing. Because they were, the way they said it. And the music was playing and I was crying and people were swooning. And if it's not in the Bible, throw it away. This is why I believe why it says in 1 Corinthians 14, don't despise prophecy. Because it's abused enough that you could. Let's keep the good and throw out the bad. Amen? Let's keep the good. All right? So, the Holy Spirit will speak sometimes. There'll be a supernatural manifestation and he'll speak through someone else. But again, that he's not going to guide you through that. All right? Because in our New Testament, one of the greatest things about our covenant is we don't need a middleman. There is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Not the man, the pastor, or the man, the apostle, or the man, the prophet, or the man, or the woman, the crazy flaky people, the lady that comes to your small group. That's not a fruit of the Spirit. That's a fruit of imitation. All right, I'll just say that there are some satellite networks, shows that you need to turn off. Turn off. Watch Super Sport. It'll be a greater blessing to your life. It's not biblical. There's stuff on TV, people operating in familiar spirits. Not all, of course, not all of them. I watch Christian TV a lot. Love it. Awesome. Yeah, but there's certain programs. Turn the channel, watch CSI. Wait for the Bible to come back on. Don't watch that nonsense. Don't watch it. Who are you talking about? I'm not telling. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. You'll know. You'll be able to interpret. You'll be able to know if this is in line with the Word of God. Amen. All right. And we see in the New Testament that God does speak through dreams, visions, angels. It is a New Testament way of communication. Now, what we don't see is it happening all the time. We don't see it happening all the time. Now, let me say this to you. Please, don't tell God how to communicate with you. Don't have a favorite way. Because if you push for a vision, you're going to make up your own vision. If you want a prophecy, then you'll just run to any meeting under the sun to get one, and you'll get the wrong one. Let God talk to you the way He wants to talk to you. When it comes to act like a vision, and the ones that happened in my life, it's not like you just get caught up into heaven. It's more like almost like in your mind, or when you're praying, you just see something. That's really only happened to me twice in my whole life. One of them was about this church at Mrs. Newberry's funeral, and she had passed away. And I was there. I was sitting next to Tracy on the front row, the old building. Some of you were there. And I went back to the lodge in Cabalonga, and I just felt the Holy Spirit working in my life. And I began to pray, and I knelt there at the bed, and I just began to pray. I didn't know anything what was going on. All right. And I just saw a vision of a baton that was on the ground, like on a track. You know how sometimes people drop the baton. And that's all I saw. I just saw the baton. It was just laying there. And I was thinking, you know, in my mind, I was like, pick it up. Who's there? Who's going to pick this up? And I was kind of upset, you know. And then the vision stopped. And I thought, that's interesting. Then I came to spoke at Miracle Life 2 weeks later. And I didn't say I had a vision. But I thought, well, maybe that was for the church. And I just kind of gave this message of, you know, Mrs. Newberry's not here. She's in heaven. And collectively, everyone needs to take their part and run. And the vision is still here. And I thought, well, that was a nice little sermon. And went back to Johannesburg to go eat sushi. Live my life, you know. And I didn't think about it. Okay? And those of you here that were here for the transition of Pastor Newberry, Ron Kuzma was here. Pastor Newberry was here. And this very microphone, is this the one? I think it is. This very microphone. And they hadn't planned this, and I hadn't told Pastor Newberry, I hadn't told Ron Kuzma anything about this vision or anything. And they said, come up here, Pastor Walker, P- Pastor Haley, get up here. And so we were there. Remember this, Haley? We were on the stage. Remember Mark? And Ron took this microphone and he handed it to Pastor Newberry. And he took it and he handed it back to us. And we grabbed it. What was that? That was the vision that I saw. That was the baton. I only told Pastor Newberry that last year. All right? But what that was a vision to let, and then God orchestrated all that to know you're supposed to have the vision. The vision is transferable. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's a vision. Now, what are some things that we can do on purpose? All right? We can trust Him. We can expect to be led. Very practically, those of you that pray in other tongues, this is a marvelous, marvelous way of assisting this process in your life. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says that he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. All right? This is talking about the personal use of tongues in your life. And that word mystery means divine secrets. Divine secrets. Romans 8 says when you don't know how to pray as you ought. Bible says when you speak in tongues, your mind is unfruitful. But he, the Spirit, he prays according to the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God. And so there's just situations in our life where we're like, Lord, what do you want? My mind is unfruitful. I can't figure this out. And that's okay. And so one of the ways that the Holy Spirit assists us is he prays the perfect will of God through our life when we yield to him in tongues for our life. And so if you have decisions in your life, I would encourage you, take time and set aside some time and then pray in the Spirit over it. Or if you're about to make a decision, or if it's an on-the-spot situation, you don't know what to do, all right? And I'm not saying in the middle of your office, you know, you start shouting at the top of your lungs in tongues, you know? But just start praying in the Spirit, all right? And many times God will use that for those mysteries, those things that you don't know, but he does, amen? But the main thing is, he's been on your road. He knows where you're supposed to go. He knows how to get you there. And don't ignore the guide. Don't ignore the guide. And there are a lot of people who are trying to get, like we were trying to get to the falls, and they've discounted the guy in the pink tie. And they're off on some path, and he's walking this way. They've ignored him. They're not listening to him. And they end up ruining their lives, and they blame it on the devil. It's because they weren't listening. They weren't following. Oh, friends, I've done that. I've done that before. I've done it. It's not fun. Backtrack. Turn around. Got to go this way. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of effort. And see, here's the thing. The stuff on the other path, there's a reason why the Holy Spirit didn't put you on that path. Because there could be hurt and damage for your life and your family and your destiny. Amen? Let's follow him. Let's listen to him. And when he says go, we're going. Amen? So, he will help you in life. He will do it. And I can encourage you, but begin to put some of these things into process. Begin to see him that way. Amen? Bow your head with me today. Father, we thank you for your goodness and kindness. Thank you for the great and mighty Holy Spirit who has come to indwell us, to lead and to guide us, to show us. Oh, Father, today we recognize him. We confess we are not the greater one. We do not have what it takes to make it in this life. We are completely lost without you. And we need you, Holy Spirit. We need you to show us. Father, I know there are people, everybody in this room has decisions to make. Most of us make decisions every day. Lord, I know there's people in this room that are making big decisions, decisions that affect their destiny, decisions that in some senses are irreversible. May we look to you. Father, for every single person here, if you're single in this room, it means you're not married. Submit the destiny, the future destiny of your marriage to the Lord Jesus. He has a will. I don't necessarily think he picks out one or only one, but he'll certainly talk to you. He'll certainly show you things to come. He'll help you see what you need to see if you look to him. You're not that smart. Look to him. Businessmen, businesswomen. Oh, businessmen and businesswomen. This is very strong this morning. You must make the Holy Spirit the chair of your board. He's got to be the CEO. He has to be in charge. Please don't call him in as a consultant when you're in trouble, when you've messed up. Put him on your board. Put him in every decision-making process. Put him right there. Oh, and he'll lead you. He'll lead you. The Bible says that he teaches us how to obtain wealth. He'll show you how to do that. His way, his policies, his guidance. He'll help you to know by the Spirit if it's a bad deal, a bad hire. Yeah, use your mind. Do what you need to do. But look to him. Look to the Holy Spirit on the inside. He'll show you. He'll show you. In your relationships, let him guide you. He'll always guide you with love. He'll always guide you into peace. He'll always guide you in the context of his word. Right now, wherever you are, whatever your situation is, bring it to the Holy Spirit. Bring it to him. Recognize him as the expert of your future. Oh, it's a good future. A good future. Plans to prosper you, to bring you to the end that God has for your life. Not to harm you, not to hurt you. He'll never, ever hurt you. He'll never injure you. To bring you to God's place, that expected end. Let's pray this today, those of you who'd be willing to, just with your heads bowed and eyes closed. This is for Christians. Say, Holy Spirit, I realize you are my guide, and I'm sorry where I've not allowed you to be. I've driven. I've made the decisions. I haven't even asked you. I have not looked to you. I'm sorry. I repent and I turn around. And this day, I let you know I need you. I'm helpless. You are the helper. I don't have what it takes, but you do. So guide my life, guide my money, guide my business, guide my employment, my relationships, my family. I look to you. And I thank you that I will hear you. You can speak to me. You can let me know however you see fit. That's your job. My job is to listen. And I determine right now, when I hear you, I'll obey. I'll walk. I'll take the steps that you give me.